We have been going through a sermon series titled Thrive, Living by Faith, Not in Fear. And we've been using Hebrews chapter 11 sort of as a outline. Now, we'll be jumping a little bit around. Abraham, we're going to put him on the back burner for a two-week series. Later on, Pastor Art will be going through that section. But basically, just picking some of the characters from what some people call the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, today, we'll be looking at Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Let me set it up a little bit, maybe give a little context. The title is Longing for a Better Place. This past week, I spent some time, I did a last-minute trip to go see my parents. So I flew out early Tuesday and got back late on Friday. So basically, I was gone for the week. And part of that trip, I stayed at, you know, this is a little secret, but I really like the Hampton Inn. Because you get a lot of things free. I appreciated the free Wi-Fi, you know, I had rented a car, so, you know, free parking. The room was huge that I was in. It was a big king-size bed. Later on, my brother was going to come in town, so, you know, I sleep on one side, he sleeps on another kind of thing. But, you know, it has a fridge, microwave, and the breakfast. And you could go back as many times as you want during that time slot. Not to say I did. I'm just saying you could if you want. You know, there's coffee all the time. So, you know, it was pretty nice place. Convenient drive to the hospital we were going to the grocery store, etc. I've gone on vacation before where we stayed at a hotel, and after the first 2 days, the breakfast that was so awesome the first day, it's like maybe I'll just have orange juice or something. It's sort of weird, right? After a while, that great place is not so great. It's not home. While I was gone this last few days, there was no Tina or Silas there. So, you know, yay, free Wi-Fi, but man, it's not the same having my family with me, to be there with her, to be there with him. It's just one room. At my own house, you know, we have different rooms. We have a big kitchen, you know, we have a big fridge. I can eat anytime, right? I seem to have a theme here. But no, I would not, absolutely not, prefer a hotel over my home. I long to be home as soon as possible. And the writer of Hebrews sort of got this. I mean, he never stayed at Hampton Inn, but he wrote in the middle of this, the beginning part of Hebrews 11. You know, we've been hearing about Enoch. We've heard about Noah. And we hear a little bit about Abraham, Moses, but then there's this pause in verses 13 through 16 where he just stops to teach us some things about living by faith. So that's what we're going to look at today, Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Let me read it out loud for you, if you just follow along in whatever version you might have. We use the English Standard Version a lot from the pulpit here. So English Standard Version, Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16, these are the words. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. In New Living Translation, verse 15, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place. Looking, longing for a better place. So the first thing I want to point out from here is living by faith does not necessarily mean we will get what we desire from God right away. Living by faith does not necessarily mean that we will get what we desire from God right away. Now, again, this is assuming we're praying for God's will to be done, and hopefully our desires are matching his desires, so what we're asking for is not a bad thing, but it may not come right away, or it may not look like what we expected, or it may be answered after we're gone. Many of these people that are going to be mentioned in Hebrews 11, they died without seeing the desired result from God, but they died still believing. They still had faith all the way till the day they died. And the day they died, they were in God's presence, and obviously they knew then that everything was good and well, and that things were taken care of, and that God had kept his promises. But on this side of eternity, as they prayed and as they sought after God, as they longed to be with him, there were some things that not necessarily were answered here on earth. Abraham, he had been promised that God would make a nation out of him, that his descendants would be more than the stars of the sky, more than the sand on the sea, on the seashore. He never saw that. He only lasted a few generations. I mean, they lived longer back then, but still, he didn't last that long. Did God lie? You know, could God have just said, well, okay, now I can cut off his descendants so I don't have to keep that promise? No. Abraham died believing and knowing that God would keep his promise. Again, we'll look more at Abraham's life later. Pastor R will be preaching about him. But Abraham obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. You know the story. God had told Abraham, move. He didn't tell him where. And Abraham said, okay. He packed up, and then along the way, God told him where to go. One commentator said, unbelief asks, how can this be? Meaning, this is impossible. There's no way this is happening. But faith asks, how shall this be? How will this be? In other words, I know, God, that you can do it. I just don't know how or when. Again, unbelief says, how can this be? A life of faith says, how will this be? How shall this be, Lord? It's a slight difference, maybe, or it's a huge difference. People who die without getting healed, you know, they pray and pray for healing. There's a precious couple in our Mandarin congregation, and this lady, she served very faithfully, the wife did, and in 6 months, she got cancer, and about a week ago, she went home to be with the Lord. Obviously, people were praying. A lot of people were praying that God, please. But she declined very quickly. Her husband, I visited them at the hospice care location, and it was hard. By then, she wasn't as responsive, but I had known from others who had visited her earlier in the weeks before. This lady, she was ready to go home. If I could use the words from Scripture, she was longing to be in a better place. Her husband obviously wanted to do all he could, but she let him know, hey, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I'm ready to go. That is faith. That's not fear. Thrive means to thrive even till the last day means to live by faith, not in fear. These people in Scripture, they had eyes of faith in that they looked forward. Basically, they saw it on the horizon. You know, I've heard some people illustrate it like they were on one mountain peak and they're looking and they see another mountain peak. And in between, there's a lot of bumps and a lot of valleys and there's a lot of trails and stuff. But they just kept their eye. You look over there and say, that's where I'm going. And by God's grace, I'll get there. I don't know what path yet. And these people in Scripture, again, it says that these people, having seen them and greeted them from afar, they didn't get the things necessarily that were promised to them, but they kept their eyes on the horizon and they saw that it was coming. Faith indeed is a hope and that which has not yet come to pass. Faith is indeed a hope and that which has not yet come to pass. So the question is, as we wrap up this point, living by faith, if it doesn't necessarily mean we will get what we desire from God right away, are you and I willing to still live by faith? We've talked about this before. A lot of times promises, we rest in promises if we really, really know the person who made the promise. And more importantly, do we believe that person will keep his or her promise? If God promised, I will never leave you. If God promised that there will be suffering, but I will be there for you, that I will be your help. If God promised that if you don't know what to say in a moment, I will be there to give you the words to say as you're witnessing to others. If people are questioning your faith, I will give you the words to say. Do you believe God? Because if we don't believe God, we don't talk to people about him because we're afraid we won't know what to say. Right? I mean, you see, it just logically follows. But living by faith means even when we're not sure or we haven't seen it happen, faith believes that it will happen. These men and women that Scripture talks about in this, throughout the Bible, not only in Hebrews 11, they believed all the way to their dying day, even though they might not have exactly received what that which for which they had desired. That's not easy. It's not easy to live by faith, but you know what? You'll find out as we go through this series, easy is not going to be a four-letter word we'll be using in this series. Living by faith is a journey. It's an adventure. It is hard. It is peaceful. It is fulfilling. It is joyful. It'll make you cry. It's tough. But God has promised. He's asked us to look at him. And I really appreciate Pastor Art's thoughts right before the Lord's Supper. How often do we say, okay, God, it's time to pray. Now, here's my list. And you give it all out to him. Versus, God, it's that time we've set aside, and I'm here, and thank you for giving me your word. Would you give me something from you now? Then you read his word, and then afterwards, like, okay, God, I read the black and white on my pages here. What do you want to talk about? That's a very different way to pray. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not like right now I'm talking directly to you. That is what our God desires from us. And as we get to know him, we'll be okay with the idea that maybe what I asked for, I might not see. You know, you might be praying for somebody right now in your life to come to know Jesus as his or her personal Savior. But you may die before they get to know that Savior. But you pray believing, God, if it's your will, may this person come now. You may or may not be the person God uses. Again, I use the illustration about sickness. It's just sort of a topic that's on my heart right now. And it's like, Lord, are you still a good God? Do I believe in your promises that you are a good God, that you know what you're doing, that you're loving, that you're all-powerful? Do you really keep up to that? And will I believe that? And as I make choices like that, you get through another day. But folks, if you think this living by faith, it's just not worth it. I don't see anything. Well, what you see is down the road. What you see with eyes of hope is that God will always be faithful. And what you long for is to be with him, not here. And that leads to my second point. Living by faith, again, the first point is living by faith does not necessarily mean we will get what we desire from God right away. Living by faith, number two, means there is a holy discontent with our present life here on earth. There is a holy discontent with our present life here on earth. The end of verse 13, these people in Scripture, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. People of faith know that this world is not our final destination. In fact, they view themselves as strangers and exiles on the earth. Or New Living Translation calls this foreigners and nomads. Now, a lot of us do not want that title in our associated with us. I don't like to be called strange or a stranger. I don't like to be called exile. I would not like to have the title foreigner put with my name. But these men and women of faith, they embraced those titles. It's like, what's going on? They understood that they're just visiting. You and I are just visiting here on earth. This is not our home. These people of faith, many of them died without receiving all that God had promised, but they never lost their vision of heaven. They never lost their vision of being with the Lord, which is ultimately what they want. Many Christians become frustrated and defeated when their needs, their wants, their expectations, and demands are not immediately met when they believe in Christ. I hope that as you share Christ with people, you will not tell them, once you trust in Jesus, life will be all right. Unless you clarify that statement. It doesn't mean there will be no pain. In fact, there may be more pain. It's tough. But when we see ourselves as foreigners, as nomads, as strangers in a foreign land, then you understand that living at the Hampton Inn is not home. Now, the tragedy is some of us had made that Hampton Inn, if you will, an amazingly comfortable place. You have resources to pay for it. You have decorated it. You and I have even put our name on the front door. And we believe that this life right now is home. Until we hear God's word. Until we pray. Until we hear a testimony. And we realize that whisper that we hear and that ache in our heart is God-given. He's given us this longing to be with him. And we can push him off as long as we can. But why do we push him away? Because you and I were made to be with him. This world is not my home. There's a gospel hymn. I grew up in Louisiana, so we sang a lot of gospel songs. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But these are the words. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, as we face a worldwide crisis, as we try to figure out this coronavirus thing, very quickly we realize we can't figure it out. Those who are smarter than us are trying to figure it out. Now, are we going to thrive in the midst of this and live by faith, or are we going to live in fear? We have a sign. We ask everybody to use those hand sanitizers. Really, I've read that's probably the best thing people can do is to wash their hands often and keep it clean. It's debatable about the masks, how much it helps. But we want to be wise. We want to be compassionate. But we must live by faith and not in fear. When Scripture says teaches us here that there's a holy discontent, you know, on the one hand, we're like, oh, man, this is coronavirus. The reason why there's so much anxiety about this is because people don't want to die. Right? At the end of the day, the reason why we are stressed about this is we don't want to die. But if heaven is our home, I mean, we don't go out and, like, you know, lick a stick that has the germ on it, okay? That's foolishness. But can we go through life in faith with wisdom and go through another day? Or will we be sucked in by the hysteria and what we're hearing and reading and talking to people? There are some people, they don't even open their mouth and you're just anxious because you know what they're going to say. They're going to give you the latest article and the latest statistic. My friends, we have been called to live with a holy discontent with our present life on earth. My dad was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma about 10 days ago. So that's what's been sort of messed up in him for the last 6 months. And I've shared briefly that we didn't know exactly what it was. So 4 biopsies later, bone marrow biopsies, which are not the most fun thing to get. Lots and lots of blood transfusions. This past week, he had 4 already. So about 10 days ago, they diagnosed that. So this past week, I went there, went down and drove him from their home to Tampa, where they're receiving great care. He had his first chemo. And so, you know, you're sitting there, and if you ask me, you know, do you want your dad to get better? I would say yes. The prognosis is good. Sort of. I want him to get better, yes. Sort of. Let me explain. You know, he's been suffering a lot for the last 6 months. My mom has also. And by God's grace, he's been a believer for many, many years. He's 80 years old. he knows what he's facing as far as at the end of the road. And he knows that his God is good. And he's told me many times. Sometimes I'd say, okay, Dad, I got it. Say, oh, I'm ready to be with the Lord. But then when I went, I knew as the oldest son, I went and, you know, Dad's never faced cancer before. So he can say, oh, I'm ready to be with the Lord. But when you go with him, you know, Asian males trying to work through their feelings and stuff, it's like, yeah, there's a sense where it's like, man, it's hard. So just to be there was a blessing. But the reason I say I sort of want him to get better is maybe another way to ask is, do I want my dad to stay in a hotel or to be with the Lord in a mansion that he has prepared for him? I think living by faith means, God, whatever your will is, I believe that there is a holy discontent that we are supposed to have. And I also believe, God, that we may or may not always get our answers here, but at the end of the day, it's you are always good. And at the end of the day, you know what is best. Living by faith means there is supposed to be a holy discontent. And my friends, are you working and living and studying with the goal of being really settled in here on this earth? Is that why we're here? Is that why Christ died on the cross? We talked today about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. In that he didn't just die, but he rose again. He conquered death, and he offers us forgiveness and eternal life and a home with him. He offers all that. So why anybody in their right mind, in their right heart, would say, I want to live for today here, versus having a longing to be with him and to realize this, we're supposed to have a holy discontent. If you're not satisfied with some of the things on earth, you can't seem to make enough money, you can't seem to have enough time, you can't seem to have enough relationships that are healthy. You know what? It's because we're sinful people and we're in a sinful and broken world that desperately needs to hear the gospel. And so therefore, maybe we should center our lives around what we can do to share the gospel with others in a winsome, gracious, courageous way, so that they too can hopefully have this holy discontent, this longing to be with Jesus. I'm going to close now, but the last point, which I thought I might not get to, is when we live by faith, God is not ashamed to be called our God. The last verse in 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God is proud of us when we live for him. I guess sometimes when I have thoughts on my mind, I like to listen to some music. And just this week, when I went to visit my parents, they're at a Christian retirement village, and so they had a Wednesday night service. They're Baptist, so they had a Wednesday night service. And there was a song that I heard there that I haven't heard for years and years. This guy named Ron Hamilton, in 1978, cancer was discovered in his left eye. And the doctor said, you know, we're not sure. And the end result was they had the surgery. They took out the tumor, but then he lost his left eye. And they gave him a patch. And this guy, Ron Hamilton, was emotionally devastated. But as he went through it, he realized God is a good God. So if you look up Patch the Pirate, he has written many, many songs for children and above. And one of the songs he wrote, so he wears that patch and he puts on a pirate costume when he was with kids. He's pretty old now, but he wrote this song. And again, I'm just going to read this and not sing it to you. If we had more time, we would learn to sing it. But God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness, he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came, and tears fled away. Sorry. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. There may be some non-believing friends here, and I just beg of you to listen. God intends for you to have a holy discontent, but you've got to accept his gift. He offers you forgiveness. He's taking care of your sin problem. But he offers you his forgiveness and eternal life. Will you receive him today? Ultimately, no matter what happens here on earth, you will be with him forever. And that's a good thing. And my challenge to you who say you've been Christians for a few months or a few years or decades, do you long for your heavenly home? Do you long for your heavenly home? Do you need to assess your life and live by faith, not by sight? He has called us to live beyond ourselves so that he can shine. My friends, I don't know what it is in your life. It might be regarding work. It might be regarding health. It might be regarding relationships. It might be regarding your marriage or your singleness. It might be regarding having children or having children that are breaking your heart. Whatever it might be, it might be your church is causing you angst. Will I live by faith and look to him and have this holy discontent and long to be with him? If we have this longing, everything else will fall into place. If we don't have that longing to be with him, then something's seriously amiss. So friends, let us live by faith, longing to be with him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to live by faith and not by sight. It is so counterintuitive, and we don't like to live beyond ourselves. In fact, we do everything we can to be in control. But God, if this is the way you've asked us to live, as we look at the saints that are listed in Hebrews 11, they believed you all the way to the end, even though they didn't quote-unquote receive the promise, because they knew you would not change, and they knew that you are good with your promises. So God, stretch us, whether you need to convict us of sin or comfort us or heal us from wounds. God, we come to you as a church and ask that you will give us a longing for you. Help us to do whatever it takes, and help us to live with a holy discontent with what this world has to offer. And God, I pray that you will help us to live in a way that does not bring you shame, but brings you glory and gives you praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.